Look in my eyes for my mind state. I'm on the grind 25-8. Money on my mind, that's how I play. If you got it now, this what I say. Hold up, wait. Hold up, wait.
We are back, here we are, everybody. Welcome to the episode 18, season 3 of the Swerve City Podcast. What's going on, everybody? It's Isaiah Swerve Scott here. We got the guest of the evening, Mr. Tyler Breeze himself.
Hello.
Gorgeous.
Hello.
Howdy doody.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
That was a very generous hello.
Hello. I toss out the hellos, you know.
I appreciate a
Why
good
not?
Hello.
Why not?
A good hello. Right. And, of course, I can't forget my co-host every evening, all evening, Mr. TZ Scott.
How you doing?
And Big Swole over
How you
here.
Doing?
Press. Man.
Big show.
And let me just get straight to it. We just dropped new content right there. Done by my man Siren over there. And Big Mike. Yeah.
Hey, what up?
Yeah, we got Chit Trap. So all these interviews that we've been doing, we've been having the guests hang out a little bit later, 5 minutes later after the episode's been closing. And we have a little conversation. We ask them little questions. And now you get to see a little answers from them about little pop culture references and stuff like that, their little thoughts on them, what they feel and all that. But I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're just going to have to subscribe to the Swerve City Podcast on youtube.com/Swerve City Podcast. That's
again,
the way you're going to check it out.
This is how you spell it.
Boom.
Because I always get asked this every week.
It's bright red colors, bro.
I don't
know how you can't see it.
How other way would you spell Swerve City?
Surprise.
It's pretty straightforward.
Accent mark over the E.
I guess.
You swerve.
Swerve.
One more good time, nice and slow for you. There it is.
Boom.
Swerve City.
It's been an eventful last 2 weeks since we've been on here. Last episode, we had Leo Rush, and we had a surprise guest of John Morrison and Taya Valkyrie drop in.
Oh.
Yeah, midway through the episode. So you got a threefer on a oneer.
Nice.
Who knows, we might bring them back individually and have the whole episode dedicated to them. But still then, you're just going to have to watch that one. Episode 17, Swerve City Podcast on Season 3. But what's been up with Big Swole lately in the past 2 weeks? It's been an eventful past 2 weeks, actually.
We're going to talk about it. You know, Big Swole, I've been working hard at my job.
Oh, you're hard at working.
Yeah, well.
It ain't work when you're having fun, baby.
It's not. And hey. I be having all the fun, too. Just, be, you know, just back there singing and stuff, singing in the background. I was on TV fighting a beast this past
week. She
beastly. Yeah, she beastly. She got me a little bit. But I kicked her in the face, though. I gave a little bit of that swole food.
So you got one.
Yeah, speaking of which, today's kicks are Pumas.
Bring that up here.
Charlotte's.
Put it on the table.
Sorry.
Oh, we banged the table.
My bad. Oops. They match perfectly with my brand new official Big Swole shirt that's... Finally, I got a pro wrestling tee shop, so
into
I
have
right? I waste no time.
That's good.
I waste no time. It's awesome. It has purple in it for the people with my Crohn's, so I'm representing everybody in one shot. So yeah, that's what's been going on with me. What about you, TZ? What you been up to, bro?
Well, you know, same old regular. Same
Besides
old regular.
Growing that hair back, I see. Ooh, look at that boy.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? Getting my little bit I got left at 31 back.
Let me see the back.
Yeah, see the back? Look at that. Right there, too.
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
it got a little something, you know what I mean?
You can't see the battleground marks on there no more.
You know what? God is not pleased.
God, I had my scars, you know what I'm saying?
Can we tell the story one more time?
My war scars.
Can we tell them for season 3? No.
It sounds like a good one.
Oh my God.
Season 3 guests haven't heard this one.
Gotta
yet.
Let it out.
Yeah.
So you want me to tell it now?
Yeah, we gotta tell it now.
Before we get into the good.
I don't know if I'm going to add some dressing to it. All right, here we go. So at the time, my head was bald, right?
All
right. I had a bald head. My head huge, as you can see.
Sure,
so,
sure.
You know. And, you know, I had a bald head, and I was getting my, my Michael Jordan on. You know, I was getting my Michael Jordan on, having it bald. Me and the barber was in a good conversation, and he was cutting, you know, so I was kind of tired.
Yeah.
So while, you know, I was back, he's razor blade in the back of my head, and I just... Now, it defeats gravity because I don't know how you sleep and your head falls back when naturally you fall forward.
Yeah.
But I'm in the barber chair talking, and I just, like, kind of got tired.
Sure.
So my head goes back, and I'm like, uh-oh. So the blade cuts the back of my head.
Mm. Ooh.
So I'm like, what happened? Next thing you know, I feel drops coming down my neck. Yeah, and I'm like, Barbara's like, oh, I nicked you.
Just a little one.
Yeah. We ain't,
Sweeney Todd over here.
Yeah.
Got you. You get worried. We ain't talking about LeBron James and everything in the chair, right? So I'm like, okay, I got to stop the bleeding now. So I have a little paper towel in the back of my head. My head bleeding, gushing spots all over the place. So there's a Dollar Tree in the same plaza.
Okay.
So I
imagine him running.
Yeah.
So I'm walking
blood
in here.
Dripping everywhere from a little nick.
I know, sir. I know. So we walk into the Dollar Tree, and I'm like, "Where the Band-Aids at?" All loud, you know. I look absolutely stupid doing this. I'm holding the back of my head like I'm hit.
Yeah.
And, So I walk through the aisles trying to find the Band-Aid. Nobody, all of a sudden, everybody got amnesia. Nobody knows where the damn Band-Aids are. So I have to search through these Band-Aids. And then, you know, my head big. So, you know, regular Band-Aids just ain't going
to stick. You need a whole pack of Band-Aids.
I need that adhesive.
Sure, boy. Sure, yeah.
I need adhesive. Big old patches with the big old gauze.
Like the big old gauze. You're the one that
extra
really stick.
Long.
Extra long.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, my God.
Don't take a shower and let your head get wet. It's a wrap. So then I'm standing in line. The line is super long. I'm like, yo, can I please just get some Band-Aids and get out of here?
Yeah.
These things
I'm fainting.
I'm still tired.
I feel like I'm shot. Yeah. I feel like I'm shot. So I'm standing there in line. I'm standing there. Blood just drips out the back of my head. I don't know what to do. And mind you, let's backtrack. In the barbershop, you put alcohol in the back of my head. So my head's
stinging.
Stinging and bleeding. So then I was like, you know what? Let me get to the front of the line. The lady asked me, are you okay? And old lady, you know, she want to go to the back of check. And I'm like, no, let's not do that. You know, I'm just trying to get these Band-Aids. And I just want to go. The line's extra long. I'm frustrated. I'm tired. You know what I'm saying?
So tired.
The barber had the nerve to still try to go talk about LeBron James after I'm cut. So I was already agitated. And then I got home and took a shower, and like I just had to sit there for like an hour, like
in my spare time.
Yeah.
And so now I have war wounds in the back of my neck that has not gone away since.
But here we are. We got a full festival.
But then
it's back.
Lord have mercy. And you know, I can always tell that that's always traumatic when you tell that story because you sweating, baby.
It's hot. It's hot, man.
He's not used to the hair on his head.
I'm not used to it. See, I'm under pressure.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm under pressure.
You got like lamb's wool. You out here sweating. This is Florida, sir.
Oh. Man, last night we had the Super Bowl, San Francisco 49ers versus the Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs last night. Mm. Andy Reid finally got his ring. I'm happy about that. You big American football person?
Not at all.
It was a very big game, important game last night, sir.
I've heard. I only know because Corbs. Corbs is a big Kansas City fan.
He was there.
He was very happy.
Yeah. But the first half of the game, he very much wasn't.
No?
It was down 20-10.
Wow.
And they came back, scored 21 points straight.
Yeah,
it was a great game. So.
Amazing.
So put that out there. Anyway.
Shakira did great.
Oh, Shakira and J-Lo performed at the halftime show. A lot of shaking.
Yeah, nice. Shakira did great.
So much holla at me, Shakira. I see you.
Can you do it one time?
No, can you do this one more time? Funk is on a roll. 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 Somebody call my mama. All right.
What? Okay, I got it.
Moving on.
All right, I'm done. Yeah. This is what happens.
Icebreakers, everyone.
Yeah.
So, welcome to the Sports City Podcast. Tyler Breeze here, everybody. What's going on, man? How's everything been going, bro?
Good.
You've been
super
very busy lately.
Super busy. I like to keep a full plate.
Yes.
Full plate, yeah. Not only with NXT stuff, but 205 now. And then also, I got my school, Flatbacks. Flatbacks Wrestling School.com. Check it out.
We're going to get into that more heavily.
Yeah. And then, you know, we also do some stuff on the side. We do some Twitch streaming, Dilly, who is Ty Dillinger or Sean Spears, whatever you want to call him, and Corbs. So we got some video game streaming stuff over there, and then I got a bunch of stuff on the go, real estate stuff on the go. I don't know. I have too much on the go.
This man has
too much on the go.
So for him to take some time out and come over to the Swerve City Podcast, give us an hour of his time, man. We all appreciate that, man. It's It's lovely. Yeah, it's but man, let's start back. We're gonna go far back, but not too far back, because we got some fun stuff we want to get into. We want to learn some fun things about Tyler Breeze, man. What's going on? Coming in from Canada. What part of Canada are you from?
Well, I mean, most people don't know Canada at all. So the easiest way to explain it is the West Coast near Vancouver.
Ooh, okay. So you're on the Pacific Northwest area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm like 4 hours from Vancouver.
Okay. Okay. All right. So starting off in wrestling, where did you initially start?
Well, so growing up, I was kind of like, it was like small town Canada. So there wasn't really a lot of wrestling at all. Right. So the only option that I had, because I eventually wanted to make it to WWE, that was always the goal, because as a kid, you know, it was literally, that was all I knew. Mm-hmm. I don't think I even found out about like WCW and everything else until I was like 14, 15.
That's about the same age for me.
Yeah, so all I knew was WWF at the time, and I watched like WWF Superstars or something. That was all I knew. So
What year was this around the time?
Oh, when I was getting trained?
When you started watching.
Oh, when I started watching, it was like 6 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just like, I think my dad showed me one time, and I was just like, you know what, this is cool. And then just started like taping every Saturday. Yeah. It was like Superstars, and then I just kind of went from there.
You're a repo man,
bro. Yeah, dude, literally, it was like, and Superstars was so weird at that time, too, where it was like, for the most part, it was just like enhancement matches. So it was like, it was like, you know, TL Hopper against like Crush or something. And you're like, whoa, this is going to be a good match. And like, I, at the time, I was like the perfect fan. I had no clue about anything.
Man, that's the golden age.
I loved it. Being innocent and just watching, like, I thought British Bulldog was the coolest, and just being like, man, this is awesome. So didn't know anything, like didn't know any of like backstage stuff, no politics, nothing, just like knew exactly what it was and just like enjoyed it. So everything kind of like from then on was just geared towards wrestling. And it was weird because like I was like a kid, so I was like 6 or 7, and like people would be like, hey, what are you gonna be when you grow up? And I was like, I'm gonna be a wrestler. And they're like, yeah, sure, like whatever. Mm-hmm. And like it literally to the point where like going through school, like my teachers would be like, all right, what are you gonna do? Like what do you want to do in college? And I was like, I'm not going to college. Like I want to go to wrestling school and then wrestle for WWE. That's what I'm gonna do. And they're like, yeah, you know the odds of that are like so like you should have a backup plan and this and this and this, whatever. Luckily, my
dream killer conversation,
dude, right. Horrible, and like going out of their way to do it. And I was like, you're supposed to like encourage me. Like as awesome as school is, like there's a ton of stuff. Being an adult now, I wish I learned in school. Like, they should have taught me about finances and taxes and, like, all this stuff that, like, how do they not teach you about this? But that's a whole other subject.
Yeah, you're just living in the wrong place.
It's crazy.
I'm from Clearwater, and they taught us.
They taught you that?
Yeah, so we had, like, other programs, like, we were in fifth grade, eighth grade, all up and down, like, doing taxes, learning everything, how to balance a checkbook. Enterprise Village.
That's so important.
Finance Park. Yeah,
that's so important.
Different. It's like a field trips. They would take us, and we would have tests at the end to make sure we knew how to do certain things.
That's so cool. They set us up worldwide. Yes.
That should be like nationwide.
It should be.
But so yeah. So anyway. So everything kind of geared towards school and high school was always that. It was always I was going to go to wrestling school, whatever it was. Didn't know of any at the time, so I was like, okay, well, I'm about to graduate. I think it was like 2006. And I was like, I got to look at, like, a school here. So I looked at WWE at the time I found out about, like, the developmental system. And I think at that time they had OVW.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, I'm from Canada. I can't just go into the States for, like, an undisclosed amount of time. I need to, like, have a plan here. So I was talking to somebody who ran, like, the front desk of OVW. Basically, I can't work or anything because I don't have a visa and stuff. So, like, I'd go down there to train, but I have to have, like, over 10 grand saved up to, like, live.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, how am I supposed to do this? Like, this is ridiculous. At the time, as I'm looking it up, I just stumbled upon Lance Storm School, who was, like, right next to me, essentially, like, 8 hours a province over. And I was like, okay, so I can go and train with Lance, who just popped up. I think he was, like, maybe the end of 06 or 07, somewhere in there. I was, like, his third or fourth class. And but I was like, this makes sense. Like, I watched Lance growing up. He's good at what he does, and he's in Canada. I can work. I can go train with him. And it all just kind of, like, worked out and made sense. So that's kind of what I ended up doing. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved right to Calgary and started the class in January, I believe.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Like, I love when, like, the guys finally meet up with some type of legend or somebody that's, like, who's doing a lot of stuff on TV now or something like that. And they see something and you're like, you know what? Yeah, I'll bring you in.
Yeah.
That's always like the beautiful part. Cause a lot of people like take that, the long traveled road, which I'm pretty sure you still had your long traveled road as well.
Kind of. It was a different road.
Yeah, but all these different roads lead to one place.
Yes.
Some people's travels take longer. Some people find the detours and they just get right to it.
Yeah, I'm more of a like A to B person. Like if I want to go somewhere, I figure out how to get there and how to make it happen, and then I just make it happen. So like even for example, I trained with Lance after the course. I started working on like the independents, which in Canada, there's not a lot of independence. So like in Alberta, for example, I worked maybe twice a month. And it was like a little promotion, but it was like fun, and I was having fun and learning and getting experience like you should. I did a couple of like cross Canada promotion or like tours and stuff where these guys would buy shows and you just kind of go in with like six people and do like three singles matches and a six man tag. And then you'd pack up the ring and then go to the next place. And he was driving across the country. Eventually, I did it for like 2 or 3 years and was like, all right, this all seems to be like the same stuff. I should at least go and like see what I'm missing here. So I asked Lance, I was like, should I go to like a tryout? Because they're doing tryouts at FCW, which then opened up. And I said, yeah, you know, I might as well just go down and like see what they say. If they're like, hey, we're not interested in you because of this, 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 then I fix that and away we go.
Yep.
So it makes sense in my head. So
simple.
Yeah. So like these tryouts are popping up and it was like you paid $1,500 and flew yourself down and you were there for like 3 or 4 days. So I was like, all right, screw it. I'm going to it. So I applied, they accepted, I went there. It was like 40 people, I think. And I got there and I was like, oh my God, like these guys are like huge and they're like, these guys are like, you know, just everything you can imagine. I can't remember exactly who was at the first one, but there were some like name guys there and whatever. But I ended up doing it almost within the first 5-10 minutes. I was like, I ruled out like over half the people. I was like, oh, I could smoke this guy. Like he sucks. Yeah. He's not good. He can't move, whatever. So like, I'm like, okay, like this should be okay. Like I shouldn't be too bad here. So I ended up doing it. I ended up making the connections because half the thing in wrestling is just who you know. So like I started, I started like, you know, kind of like I made sure that Steve Kern and Dr. Tom and Kidman and all those guys, Norman Smiley, like made sure everybody knew who I was. So Jinder Mahal actually ended up getting signed at that one. So he was like, they gave away like one contract at the end or whatever. Mm-hmm. He ended up getting it. So he does that. I think it was like 3 or 4 months later and another tryout pops up. And so I'm like, I feel like I should at least like, is it too soon or do I go down? Like, what do I do? So I asked Lance again. I was like, hey, should I go back down? Like, what's the deal? And he asked Norman and Norman was like, yes, please send him down. I said, okay, cool. So like I applied again, same thing, $1,500, flew myself down, everything else. At this point, I had maxed out like all my credit cards and I was just like, if I don't get signed here, like I'm screwed because like I'm like $10,000 in the hole. Like I'm hopefully this works out. So I go there, there's 80 people. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I immediately look around and, like, just so you have an example, like, Tony Nese is there.
Oh.
And I look at me and I look at Tony Nese and I go, oh my, like, they're hiring this guy. They're not hiring me. So I see 80 people and I go, oh my God, like, I'm so, like, I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm dead here. And within the first 5-10 minutes, I'm like, nope. These guys are out. These guys are out. These guys suck. These guys are like fighting with each other for some reason. Like, how are you supposed to get a job when you're fighting with someone on the ground? Like, what is happening? So I start feeling a little better about myself. By like the first or second day, I asked Steve Kern. He remembers me. The good part is that they remembered me.
Yes.
So I go up and I go, hey, just, you know, getting a gauge on like how I'm doing. And he goes, I'm not going to tell you anything, but like you're in our top five right now. I said, cool. Hey. That's
sounds
solid.
Like American Idol right now.
Yeah. So I go, that's pretty solid. Like, I'll take that.
Out of 80?
Yeah. So so we end up going to like the third day. Edge ends up showing up. And I go like, oh, cool, man. Like, Edge is awesome. He shows up. He kind of comes out of the booth at the time where they were recording everything. And I just go, he's friends with Lance. I know that like Lance talked to him. I got to like introduce myself. So I go, hey, man, what's up? You know, I trained with Lance and whatever. And he goes, oh, he goes, Lance told me about you. And he goes, I said, did you see my stuff? And he goes, no. He goes, I didn't, but I actually went back and rewound the tapes and, like, watched your match. And I went, whoa, that's, like,
you're,
at that, like, at the time, I think it was, what, 2010? He's,
no,
like,
he's hot.
He's exactly, he's the hottest he could be.
Yeah.
And I go, you just went out of your way for a dude you don't know. And, like, you went, like, you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to say hi to me. And he was, like, the coolest dude ever. And he goes, he was in the meetings and stuff. And he was like, dude, like, they're, like, into your stuff. Like, you got a good chance here, whatever. I said, cool, man. Like, this is going really well. So the last day rolls around. I go, all right, like, you know, if I have to come back, I'll come back and whatever, whatever. I'm sitting there and I specifically had my head down. I was like, whatever happens, happens. And they're like, all right, guys, you know that we give away one contract at the end of this and everything else.
One?
Yeah, just
out
one.
80?
Yeah. And they might like call some people after, but they give away one. So I think it was one of those things at the time where like,
odds.
If 80 people sign up for this thing, they're making a bunch of money because it's a paid tryout. But they got to at least give you like a little bit of something. So like one contract is guaranteed. So I'm sitting there and I go like, all right, whatever it is. And as I'm just kind of like thinking, they like say my name. And I go, hold on. Like, I think, and they're staring at me. And I go, oh, I said, they're hiring me. I'm like, no, this is crazy. So I stand up and like, I think at the time it was like Dusty and Norman and Billy and everybody on there.
Man.
So they bring me up to the front and we take pictures and congratulations and whatever. And I just go like, whoa, this is like actually happening. And it was crazy. I like called my mom right away and was like, hey, she's like, how'd it go? And I said, I think it went pretty good. Like, they hired me. And she's like, oh my God, this is crazy and stuff. So
that's amazing.
It worked out, like I said, the perfect time. Like if it didn't work out, I had a ton of debt that I was like, man, I don't know. I mean, I got to like keep working, but I want to keep wrestling. But we'll go from here, I guess. And that's just kind of all worked out in my favor.
See, we're going to get into talking about the family and the supporting the dream and how that went, because I know mothers get nerve-wracked with this kind of career all the time.
Oh,
Dad
still,
is just like,
still
idiot.
Does.
Yes. So you get those. So, but before we do that, we're going to cut this stream right here. And you want to check the rest of this out at youtube.com/SwerveCityPodcast. That's the only way you're going to see this, and it's going to drop on Monday. But if you subscribe to the Patreon and you pledge, you're going to get it 2 days early on Saturday. Ain't that right, Mike?
Right.
Ain't that right, Si? Yeah. So, Swerve City Podcast on YouTube. Check out the rest of the episode. Yeah. Episode 18, season 3. Boom. With Mr. Tyler Breeze here. That's so, we're going to cut this, but we're going to keep going. Bye.
Bye.
Sure. All righty. So, continuing on, because this is an amazing story. I have notes, but I'm like, I'm just going to let him go.
I got so many stories.
That's why I'm like, just let it go. So, the parents, how were they supporting of this? Or were they nerve-wracked? How were they feeling about hearing their son was to leave the country of Canada and go into pro wrestling in the States and all this other mess? Like, just go ahead. Just go.
So, luckily, I had, like, a very good parent support system. So like they like literally I've explained this to people.
Brothers, sisters?
One sister.
Okay.
Who's also the best. Like they're all my family is the exact same and they're awesome. Like
amazing.
Just super supportive. And like if I told them I was like, yeah, I want to be like homeless, they'd be like, awesome. You can be the best homeless person ever.
Bro,
like,
I won't give you a dime.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, whatever I can do.
And that's there's like they're just cool that way. So like even just growing up, I played hockey for like 10 years and like my bag of hockey gear cost more than our car. You know what I mean?
Ooh,
like, that's just how it was. Like, but they were, and it was, you know.
It's an expensive sport, man.
And it wasn't even like I had, like, top of the line stuff. Like, we just, that's just how, like, they didn't make a lot of money, but I never knew that. You know what I mean? Like, until I grew up, and then I went, wow, you did a lot for me. But they made sure that, you know, everything was good. But I guess growing up, like, even as I was getting older, despite teachers and everybody else going, like, yeah. You'll grow out of wrestling and you'll never make it and whatever.
Right.
They were like, the only thing that my dad one time said, you should take like a business course or something just as like a backup plan. And I just told him, I was like, yeah, I don't need a backup plan. And he's like, what do you mean? And I go, if I have a backup plan, I'm going to focus on this and also my backup plan. Like if this doesn't work out, which I'm not even accepting right now, but if it doesn't, I will be okay and I will then make another plan. But until then, this is my plan and all my energy is going towards here. And they were like, okay, cool. And like that was it.
Okay.
Obviously, like my mom, she was the one who like she drove me and my friend over to Calgary when we moved there, which I think my sister was moving out at the time too. So like she got super empty nest and it was like, oh my, like what is happening? She was super sad. So she drove over with us, and then once I started wrestling, like she was like super supportive. All of them were super supportive, but you know, as moms do, like she would think I was hurt every, like, no matter what happened. Like, she'd be like, oh my God, your face, your teeth, like, what is happening? Like, and I was like, Mom, it's all good. It's all good. Like, I'm okay at this. Like, I'm doing all right. And, but then when I actually did get hurt and stuff, she'd be like, I knew it. Like, I knew you were hurt. I was like, I know, Mom. But it's actually really funny. So, my dad, my mom watches all the stuff too, but my dad is really funny where he watches and, like, so obviously, you guys have, like, seen my career, and for the most part I'm on the bottom. Like, I'm usually on the bottom of the barrel. I've gotten used to it and I've been okay with it. My dad is not. He gets really mad. he gets really mad. He's like what are they doing? Why aren't they, like, why aren't you in this? Why are you winning this? And why are you doing
greatest
this
potential in
their
life.
And I go, like, I said
you deserve to be the top.
And it's so funny too, because I've had the conversation with him so many times that he'll just have it with himself, like, I don't get it. Why'd you lose there? I know. You know, you're working there and it's all good and everything's cool and whatever. But I don't get it. You're better than this guy and you should do this and whatever. I said, it's all good, Dan. It's all good. And he goes, I know. So,
talk him off the ledge.
One thing that he gets really excited about is if I win. And another that he gets really excited about is if I do a hurricanrana. I'm telling you, if I toss a hurricanrana in a match that I win, best match of all time. Best match of all time.
That thing with your raptive legs around his.
That's
all
he needs.
I did, so
two things.
I did on Friday. I was with Garza.
Yes.
And we actually had something in there where I was going to give him a hurricanrana, and I was like, "Oh, Dad'll love this." we cut it out in the match. And at the end, I think I went for another one and he countered it. And so at the end, I jump up on his shoulders and he counters it. And I was like, oh, Dad's going to be mad. And right away, he texts me and said, awesome match. That stuff was really good. Thought there was going to be Hurt Carana. I said, I know, Dad, I know.
So one thing I wanted to ask you as well, you know, you have one of the most creative entrances in wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, what you coming out, especially when you first came out, you had your cell phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that development and how that came about.
Oh, my God.
That's
so
smartphones became the hottest thing at that time, too.
Well, so it was crazy where, like, I'm telling you, so it's very odd. So if I meet somebody who just signed with WWE, it's very weird. But I tell them, I'm like, you won't even understand what I'm saying right now, but I've been through everything that can happen, and I've dealt with every person you can deal with. So if you ever had any questions, come and ask me, and I promise you I know the answer. So I'm going to make it a long story, but getting to that. So I was signed in 2010. Basically, I almost got fired a bunch of times. The random things that saved me, ridiculous. So I'll tell you, screw it. So I signed in 2010. Things were going like okay, but like by four, they used to cut people all the time. Like I've seen like thousands of people.
Those purges were
all the time.
I was like,
Black Friday, man. Black Friday, people are gone in like 5 to 10, like big chunks.
Whoa.
So like I'm watching this happen, and every Friday I'm going like, oh God, I'm gonna get fired. Oh God, I'm gonna get fired. I'm just like, I'm dying, and I'm going like, I'm calling Lance, and I'm like, dude, I'm like, what is happening here? Like, I'm gonna get fired. He's like, it's all good. Like, you just got there. It's all good. I said, okay. So 6 months roll around maybe, and I find out from somebody, I can't remember who it was, but they tell me that, like, hey, I'm on a list to get fired. And I went, oh no. And I end up having Cesaro's first match in FCW.
Mm.
In that match, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but in that match, he throws me into the air and uppercuts me out of the air. Well, nobody at that time had seen like Claudio do that stuff yet. So they saw that and they immediately went, whoa, like he killed him. But, you know, at the same time, they're like, is he okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. And that bump saved my career because they went, hold on, let's not fire him yet. There might be something there.
Mm.
And I went, oh my God, because I,
yeah.
And I guess, you know, it's whatever. But that, I was told, saved my career. 2 months later or 3 months later, all of a sudden I'm FCW heavyweight champ. And I go, what is happening? Like, I was literally on the cutting block, and now all of a sudden they're like, I'm the champ. Like, what it is.
It is.
So then, like, two or and just like that, two or three, maybe six more months go by, and all of a sudden, hey, you're on the list again. And I went, oh, no. What happened? Like, what happened? I was doing so well.
At this, the music business
oh,
is
my
crazy.
God. Which, so also, you're like this. You're like this. I'm being told at the time, hey, we've got a big plan for you. We're going to be doing a WWE Cruiserweight show. This was back in 2011. It took from 2011 to when 205 came out for that to come out.
7 years later.
So, crazy, I'm telling you. So, rolls around. I'm on the chopping block again. We end up doing the pilot episode at NXT at Full Sail to see if Full Sail will even work to do NXT. I end up working with my buddy, Bram, who what's his other name? Bram or he was in Ascension. He was in the original Ascension.
Tom
Latimer is his
name.
Yeah,
yes.
But I can't remember what his name was in Ascension. Kenneth Cameron.
Yes.
So Kenneth Cameron's my buddy. He's like one of my best friends. So we end up having a match against each other, supposed to just be him killing me. Instead, he goes, "You know what, man? Like, let's have like a match. Like, people are here. Hunter's here. Like, everybody's here. Like, let's show them what you can do because he knows, and like obviously he knows, you know how it's been." So we have a match. He lets me do some stuff, and we have like a back and forth match. And literally, Hunter looks over at Dusty and he goes, "Who's this guy and where's he been? Like, why do I not know this guy?" All of a sudden, I'm off the list and I'm like back into like, "All right, we're going with this guy." So I go, "Oh my God, like, what is happening here?"
Your chinny chin chin is like,
I'm dying. So, and the best part is I keep finding out about this. So I'm like, I'm like scraping by here. So then, like, 6 months go by. All of a sudden.
Man.
So 6 months go by, same type of thing. And it's, what did they say? They said something along the lines of like, you're uncoachable. And, you know, we're really, you think you're a lot better than you are. That was the next one. Sorry. So this first one, the first one is I get brought into a room. And it was me, Corey Graves, Xavier Woods, Colin Cassidy, and somebody else, Adam Rose. And we're told that we're doing an ESPN thing. We're doing an E60. And so, of course, we're all like, awesome, this is great. Like, this is really cool. So they follow us around. They do some interviews. They do all this other stuff. Little did I know, I find this out after. After Tyler Breeze comes into existence, and I end up like being on NXT, and it took like whatever it was, a year or whatever it was. After I became like in existence, and Cassidy, same thing. Enzo and Cass went together, and they became a thing. Hunter's in front doing the like post NXT chat, and he's talking to everybody. Yeah. And he goes, "All right, guys, just so you know, on this E60, there were supposed to be guys that made it and guys that did not make it. Me and Colin Cassidy were supposed to be the guys that did not make it and got fired at the end of this thing. We had no idea. We thought it was like a, like, hey, these are the guys that we want to like showcase. Not the case whatsoever. We were supposed to be fired. Hunter's telling everybody that we were supposed to be fired, and now, like, because we came up with stuff, our job is saved. 6 months before that, I'm about to get fired again. So we do the E60 thing. I guess they're supposed to fire me, but they can't fire me until the whatever's the coming up.
Yep.
What was that part? There was one. There was something I just started getting into, and then I forgot.
This was going.
Oh, this was the evaluation.
Yes, yes.
So I go into an evaluation. They had them every now and then. And me and Woods were actually pitching a tag team at this time. We were like, all right, this is like, so we bought like $1,000, which at the time we weren't making a lot of money.
Yeah.
So we bought like $1,000 worth of this like gear and like these jackets and everything else. And we did this whole thing. Dusty was really into it. Not a lot of other people were into it. So we went, okay, like we don't know what's happening. I sit down in this evaluation. I think I just got like a staph infection too. So like I can't.
Staph.
Dude, I can't, like, I just went to the doctor and they like cut something out. So I can't move my arm. I'm sitting in this like evaluation.
Right.
Oh my God. And they just let me have it for like 10 minutes. And I'm thinking like, all right, I'm just going to let these guys do their thing. But like, I can't. I'm like stewing. And at this point, like I said, it's like my fourth or fifth time that I'm about to be fired. And I go like, you know what? Like, they're telling me that I'm uncoachable. And I think I'm better than I am, but I'm not actually that good. And I don't pitch ideas and everything else. And I just went, you know what? I said, I did pitch an idea. I said, you guys gave me no feedback on it. And they go, oh, no, Woods got feedback on it. Like, you didn't get, you know, we told him. He must have not told you. And I went, he's my best friend. We're pitching a tag team. Why would he not tell me? So I immediately opened the door, popped my head out, and I go, Woods, I said, did they tell you anything about our tag team? And he goes, no. He goes, why? I said, because they just said you did, but we'll get to that later. So I just closed the door. And I go, this is by far the worst evaluation of all time. Like, I'm for sure getting fired after this. So I kind of start going off. And, like, at this point, I've got so much ammo that I'm just, like, brr, 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 like, tossing at everybody. And so finally they just go, like, all right, like, let's end it there before it kind of gets out of hand. And I go, sure, sure, yeah, whatever. Like, cool. I leave, and I just, like, look at Woods, and I go, yeah, man, like, I said, I'm getting fired for sure. Like, that was not a good conversation to have. And he goes, all right, man. And I think I'm texting him because I said, I'm going home. Like, I got staff. I'll see you in 6 weeks, whatever. So I text him. I go, yeah, I'm fired, dude. And he goes, well, if you're getting fired, he goes, let's go down swinging. And I go, okay. So what do you got? And he goes, they don't think we have any characters and stuff. He goes, come up with like 10 characters. He goes, yeah, at the time, if you don't know Woods, he's like a genius.
Yeah.
He taught himself how to do like Photoshop and video editing and all this other stuff as he's trying to get his PhD, all this stuff.
He's ridiculous.
So he's taught himself how to video edit and all this other stuff. So he goes, come up with like 10 characters, all different. He goes, we'll film videos for each one. We'll pitch all of them. And now they can never say that you never pitched anything again. So I came up with three different things. One was like Kale Cove. He was like this like snowboarder stoner dude.
Amazing.
Which I actually kind of liked. I was like ready. I was gonna wear these like snow pants to wrestle in, which would have been horrible. But I was like,
Ronda's
man.
A nose.
Yeah, Kale Cove, dude. He's the coolest. So
like SSX Tricky.
Yes, yes, yes.
Cool borders.
Cool borders.
Exactly like that.
Extreme.
Yes.
One,
yes. Oh, I would have been dying. Snow pants, man. So then I came up with one that was kind of like Dean Ambrose-ish, which was like, I don't know, it was like dark, and I was like downtown in this vest with like sunglasses and whatever. It was whatever, but it was like, it wasn't that cool. I'd never been a heel before, so I was like, I want to be a heel. And then my last one was Tyler Breeze. And I was like, you know what? I've always been about wrestling. Like, I love wrestling. Like, don't ever put a microphone in front of my face because I just want to wrestle. That's it. Like, if you ever put a microphone in front of my face, it'd be horrible. Like, no personality. Like, I'm giving 100%. Like, whatever. This sucks. So I just went. I went. Let's go the complete opposite. Let's go. Like, I've helped these people at tryouts who come in and they're models or they're actors or whatever, and they just go like, I can wrestle. Wrestling's easy. And they, you know, they get words wrong and they get names wrong and they do all this stuff wrong. And I said, I'll just be one of them. Like, I won't wrestle at all. I'll go the complete opposite and then add in a little bit of Zoolander to it of just like, I'm a male model who has no clue how to wrestle. Like, I never have intention of having a match ever. So the initial, I know Woods has it. He's going to put it out at some point. But the video, the initial pitch of me doing the Zoolander stuff had, like, we had to keep cutting because we were both laughing. And we both just looked at each other and I said, this one's too good. There's no way they'll ever want this one. And so we sent him in. Dusty, I think, was the only one who got back to me. And he goes, I don't know about the other ones, but Tyler Breeze, there might be something here. And I went, no way. Like, this is the one that we're like, there's no way they're going with. He said, we'll try out some promos, see what you think. So I started cutting these promos, and I started getting really comfortable as, like, not wrestling at all. Like, just being a guy who, like, I came in, and I kind of, I think at the time I talked really, like, I had this really soft voice, too. So I was like, hi, I'm Tyler Breeze. And I'd do this thing, and I had this little 8x10 that was, like, this real, like, goofy-looking thing. It was Zoolander himself. But I kept getting, like, all these, like, words wrong and stuff. Like, I'd be like, oh, man, I'm looking for a friend team partner and, like, all this stuff. Yeah. Like, but all this stuff. But so as I'm doing it, which I'm kind of a goofy dude anyway, but I'm like, having fun with it. And then everybody's laughing at me, and I'm going like, all right, this might be, like, good. Like, I'm comfortable being this dude, and I'm comfortable making people laugh. I can do this. So I kind of just keep going and keep going and keep going, and all of a sudden, like, I'm getting, like, really in the groove of, like, what this is. So then all of a sudden, I was told, and I don't know if you guys were told this, but when I first got there, I was told, you have to be able to make your ideas their ideas. And,
yep.
I said, I don't know what that means. Like, how am I supposed to get someone to think what I'm thinking? Like, how does that work? Well, so I end up, like, pitching things, and then all of a sudden my own ideas are getting pitched back to me, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. Like, that's exactly what I told you. So, like, what? This is ridiculous. But so all of a sudden, like, it was like, all right, hey, we're going to go with this Tyler Breeze thing. Like, do you have gear? And I said, yeah, I got, like, gear over here. And he goes, all right, like, do you want to – we'll switch your name and everything. I said, yep. I said, do you got music? Yeah, we'll find music. And I had, like, a match, and I think for, like, 3 or 4 matches, I just wrestled Mojo, and I did nothing. I came out with a mirror at the time. The mirror was the first thing. And I came out with a mirror, and I'd just, like, stare at myself, and then we'd have, like, I'd do nothing, and the crowd would boo the hell out of me up until, like, I don't know, I think I'd beat him up or something, and then we'd kind of just do a little 5-minute match. Like, it was nothing. Yeah. And basically what was told to me was, like, just because you know all these moves and how to wrestle, doesn't mean you have to do any of them. I said, okay. So all I did really was, like, punch and kick, and then I'd do, like, a finish, which was my spin kick, I think, and that was it. And, so I was like, okay, like, I'm kind of figuring out how to do this, but I don't fully know how to be Tyler Breeze yet.
Yeah.
And we kind of just kept messing around with it, and all of a sudden it was like, all right, we're going to do this at NXT, like, as a we're going to debut it. And immediately, like, Hunter kind of saw, so that was the longest story ever, by the way, to get to why I do a phone.
This is your interview, man.
Hey.
I have a mirror, and I'm coming out doing the stuff with the mirror, and Triple H is the one who goes, I don't know, man, the mirror feels like 80s. Like, it feels like it's been done. He goes, aren't, like, selfies a big thing right now?
That's him.
And I go,
that's exactly how he is.
I go, yeah. And he goes, let's do that. He goes, have a phone instead. And I said, okay. And he said, just take your selfies and whatever. And I said, okay, cool. So if you watch, like, my first match is Tyler Breeze, there's nothing on the Tron or anything. It's just me with the phone, and they got the phone, and I'm taking a million selfies. Which, also, I'm using one of the guy's phones in the back, one of the office guys. I think it was Billy Gunn, maybe. And they're calling me as I'm making my entrance, as I'm debuting on NXT, and I have to keep declining the call, declining the call, declining the call, declining the call. I was like, guys, like, what are you doing? Like, you're purposely, like, messing with me here, as I'm like, my career's in the balance for the 12th time. And it was Hunter's idea to use the phone, and then I think the next week or a couple weeks after that, the tech guys, who are awesome, they were like, hey, we can actually stream that up to the Tron, and, like, do you want to do that? I said, yeah, why not? So, like, we did that, and then all of a sudden it just kind of snowballed, and it was like, you know, what I was doing was ridiculous, but the people at Full Sail, they kind of gave a life of its own to it. And then all of a sudden, it was like, very quickly, I think, they didn't fully turn me babyface, but the crowd turned me babyface. To where it was like, I think I had a match with Sammy or something, and they were like, yep, like, we like this guy, and he's entertaining and everything else, and they just kind of, like, got fully into my stuff, and they've never, like, given up on me, which is cool.
Freaking beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, and I hope, like, people watching this, man, we always talk about, like, every guest that comes in, we talk about their highs and lows.
Oh, yeah.
I had the notes. I had the questions. You just went and answered
five
of them
on
their own. I'm like, hey, say, that's why I'm like, go ahead.
I got so much stuff, man. It's crazy.
But what we want to do is, like, try to influence people to have that confidence. Like, people that, like, fail at everything, fail at, like, this doesn't work out. They don't have the confidence, they don't have that bravery to go out and take these risks. Like, the people that are here right now, the guests that are, like, doing stuff on TV, that are, like, these, like, guys that are just successful at things, they went through those same things that you have, you know, like, they've been told, like, by their teachers, like, no, this is not a smart thing to do, you shouldn't do it. And that, like, for the average person, that kills their spirit, and they go the whole different route.
Yep.
And there's all this whole left lane of, like, what could have been, all this regret, all this, like, man, maybe I shouldn't have listened to them. What if I would have took that extra step? But they instill that fear in you, and it keeps you in that same spot.
Well, like, it's because the thing, too, is as you grow up and I'm very big on, like, reading and, like, learning and understanding different, like, why people are the way they are. And like, so that example, people are so quick, and I mean, especially on like social media and stuff like that, which people put so much emphasis on that now, but people are so quick to like bring someone else down because they're scared of doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like Jim Carrey actually had like a really good, like,
he
either got like a doctorate or something where he was giving a speech and he goes, look, like, it is entirely possible to fail at something that you don't even want to do. And he goes, why wouldn't you take the chance of like doing what you want to do? He goes, you could be successful at it. And I started kind of just realizing that and applying it to everything where I'm like, I'm not the most smartest guy in the world, but I know I'm not the dumbest. And there's people who are less smart than me or less talented or less whatever, and they're doing okay just because they're trying it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times too,
took
like
that first step.
Yeah, a lot of the times too, like, we make it so much worse in our head, and we worry about 90% of things that never happen. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, screw it. Let's try this. Oh, hey, that was easy. Let's do this. Oh, that was easy. Hey, let's do this. Yeah, I can do this. Whatever.
And the more you keep getting those, the more everything seems a lot more easy. And then when you fail at them, you don't get that anxiety in you.
No, you're not the and I guess my biggest thing too was like, I work for WWE. Like, worst case scenario, I mess up everything and I lose all my money and everything else. I have a good paying job and I'll recover. Like, I'm not like 50 years old and broke. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be okay. And that, I guess, helps me a little bit to where I'm like, all right, I got the security here and there.
Yeah.
But also when I didn't, it was at the same time where I was like, screw it. Like, I'm going here and I'm doing this. I'm going here and I'm doing this. And I'm learning from this and I'm doing whatever. And just that first step, I don't know why people, it's like an Everest for them.
It's scary.
Yes,
it's
super scary.
It's that first step off that ledge, you know, thinking that you're going to fall down. Yeah. Really,
it's Indiana Jones.
Soar.
Yeah.
It's Indiana Jones.
And that's why it's so easy for people. That's why it's so easy for people, too, to go like, nah. You know, you can't do this. Why? Because you can't? Like,
they fail. Because they failed at it.
Yes.
Perpetuating all their negativity.
Exactly.
You. I'm
exactly.
Like, I'm not living my
Don't
life
live
with
it.
What ifs.
Don't live it.
No, sir.
It's great.
Absolutely, man. So, you know, let me ask you this. I'll take you over to T's tape a little bit. If you know a little bit about me, I'm a musician. I'm a hip-hop artist.
Awesome.
And I like to ask people when they come in, you know, give me some of your favorite albums growing up. And some albums you like now. Give me some of your favorite projects of any genre of music that you listen to.
So I'm like all over the place. So I grew up...
my favorite type of shuffle list, by the way.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Everything. Yeah. Everything. So I grew up, my parents were like into like country music. And growing up, I hated country music. I was like, I'm never going to listen to this. Like, stop, this sucks, whatever. But they also listened to like hard rock, like AC/DC and Guns N' Roses and everything else, Aerosmith. And I was like, yep, that's cool. So I kind of grew up on that. And then as I kind of, like, got older, all of a sudden I was like, I actually kind of like all this stuff. And, like, really there's not a lot of stuff that I don't like at all. I guess there's a – like, I don't even know. I'm not a big favorites person because there's just so many options. Like, I'm not this is my favorite, whatever. It changes all the time. Like, sometimes I'm in the mood to, like, listen to whatever. So, like, right now on my Echo and stuff, I just go, like, hey, play Country Heat. And, like, Country Heat is, like, just all the hottest, like, new country stuff or whatever.
Gotcha.
But then it also ranges back to, like, hey, I want to listen to, like, Blink-182 from when I was, like, 14. Ooh. And I was like, yeah. And then it's all of a sudden it's, like,
angst.
Yeah, like, my Newfound Glory and, like, all this stuff. I was like,
and
cool, Yellow Card.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go listen to the stuff you want.
That plays on there. You don't like it.
Yeah,
you don't like that stuff,
that's
do you?
The same band, right?
Nah. Well, don't worry.
We have this conversation all the time. I mean, I can't decipher which one, which band, which the song.
Oh, man.
Out here, I'm like, that's the Charlotte.
It's between like Yellow Card and Good
Big
Charlotte.
Big Yellow Card and violin and stuff.
And
way different.
Linkin Park and Green Day.
Oh,
Linkin Park and White Stripes.
Way different.
You can't throw Linkin Park in that because if I can decipher Linkin Park,
they're a little harder. They're a little harder.
A little harder. Yeah.
Yeah. But man, when you mix in like the Sum 40 ones and like the My Chemical Romances and the
whoa, it has good hits,
but then so that's I guess whatever's like good at the time. So like Eminem dropped his new album. I've been listening to that like crazy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like all this little stuff here
Flames.
And there. I didn't get a chance. Lil Wayne just dropped his too. I haven't.
Oh, stay
yet.
Away.
Not good.
Yeah. Is Logic trash?
Not good.
Funeral 24 tracks.
A funeral.
Look,
Logic.
What you call it?
Logic. Because it's dirty Logic. That's what.
Not good.
You get to like it's 24 track album project. You get to
funeral.
Track six
that's
and then it just starts. Yeah, it just all meshes.
Okay.
Like after track six to like 18, you're like kind of hearing the same song.
Okay. And well, like Eminem's new one, there was like three main songs that I was like, yep, these are awesome.
Oh, but man, that album's probably one of the best ones.
Solid.
That flow.
Solid.
It flows
all the
way through.
Yeah.
Perfect. And I haven't heard an album like that from him since like Recovery.
It had like some old school like Eminem.
Hey,
like,
hey, Mad hey. Hey, he's making faces.
You can't judge the music, man.
Look at him.
That's a judgy face. That's judgy faces right there.
They looked at each other. That's where I'm really mad at. They said, I'm like, hold up. Conspiring. What? Yeah.
Conspiracy.
What have you heard lately, Si? Huh? What'd you like?
You don't want to tell because we're going to judge him.
What? Griselda?
Griselda?
Benny the Butcher? What? Conway? Conway, yes. Yeah, what are we listening to? Freddie Gibbs again? What? Meg Thee Stallion? What are we on now this week? What are we on this week? What we on this week? I want to know.
I love Meg Thee Stallion.
What a heated topic.
So, including the continuation about music, what concerts have you been to? Any concerts? Any major bands you've gone to?
I haven't been to a concert.
Last
concert I went to was actually NXT worked like those music festivals.
Download.
That's
the UK one.
I didn't do the UK one. Okay. I did one in like somewhere in Tennessee.
That was the Memphis one, then maybe.
Maybe there's like two or three that we've been to. Okay. But it was kind of cool because like I was at that one and like just as you're wrestling, you're hearing like Rob Zombie over there and like all these like random people that you're like, this is cool, like Shinedown and stuff. Shinedown's the best. Shinedown's great. I'm like smiling in the mask. I'm like, Shinedown's the best. I want to go like work out. Yeah. But so that which I guess it counts as a concert. Like I was there, but like not there.
Before that
would have been back when I lived in Calgary still in like 2010, and it was Crew Fest. It was Motley Crue.
Hey.
It was wicked. What a concert.
Yeah, was there?
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh man.
Wicked, dude. What a good concert. What a good concert.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. I get down with some Motley Crue.
Motley Crue's solid, bro.
I get down with some Motley.
Solid.
It was a good show?
Oh, the best.
Patronizing me?
And not even just the music, but like the whole show was so good.
Is it the best concert?
Oh, Tommy's like flying around and like they got this big like, oh, it was crazy.
Absolutely. So let's take it over to Swole's world, you know, then take her over to her line of her beautiful domain over here in Swole's world.
It is a world, I'll say that.
What? What's wrong with my world?
Nothing. It's yours. Take it. You have it.
Well, when it gets to your part, you need to play that Debo music.
Yeah, get that K-pop going over there.
What bite?
What bite? What chain? Naker? Okay, I get what you're saying now. I really just proved the whole point just then. Just in that little time. I always break them. Just break them down.
Oh, my God.
Let me get my cheat sheet.
Where's
the phone?
All right, mama. Dang.
Look. Stop playing over there. Dang it. All right. I wanted to say it when you were talking about your selfie game. Now, tell me about this cameo you made.
Which one?
For the chain smokers.
Oh, yeah. That was a little... Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh,
let me take a selfie. Mm. Yes. How did that come about?
So it's real weird how things happen, which, like, they kind of just drop on your lap, and you're like, all right, I guess. So, like, that came... Because I think at the time, I want to say I already had my music, like, my new music, which I sang. So... It was kind of weird. It was like a couple things happened in a row. So I was doing like the Tyler Breeze thing. It kind of took off a little bit. All of a sudden, we were at Full Sail, and I think I was sick. I was like really sick, and we just finished. And they go, all right, can you go to the PC to like film a couple voiceovers? And I said, I guess, but like I got a voice. Like I feel horrible, whatever. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, okay, we'll email you like what the lines are. Like it's nothing crazy. I said, okay. I checked the email. It's a full song. I go, hold on. I said, so I'm like, I said, am I singing? Like, am I singing my own song? Because this is an entire like everything. And they said,
am I Shawn Michaels?
Yeah. I said, what is happening? And they said, they said, oh yeah. Like they said, yeah, you're singing it. And I said, yeah, I said, I can't sing at all. Like I'm not a singer. So like, what are we doing here? And the initial list of lyrics was so bad. Like it was so like. I don't know. It wasn't like what you think at all. It was like everything was like touch my body and my body and my body. It was like I was like, what is happening? This is not like
Eminem. Let it go.
It's very, very weird.
It don't sound like consent is being made.
So, like meanwhile, I'm
touch my body.
That would have been
better. Right, yeah. Okay.
So I'm reading this.
Sounds like one of them '80s rave songs.
Right.
Horrible. I'm telling you. I wish I might still have it. I don't know.
Oh,
but so
I need all of this to be released.
It's ridiculous.
Xavier.
Yeah, yes.
Get on your job.
He has most of it. So I end up like reading the email and I go, all right, I can't sing. You want me to sing and I have no voice. I'm sick. And they said, okay, so I'm like, I got to, like, maneuver this in a way where, like, so I end up emailing back, and I go, oh, the song sounds great. I said, would you guys mind if I, like, put some signature stuff in there, like, a couple things that are me and whatever? They said, yeah, it'd be awesome. So I basically rewrote almost the entire thing with, like, all the stuff you hear now. And I had to finesse it in a way where you can't tell people that, like, hey, this sucks, but, like, hey, this might be better. So they're like, okay.
Got to church it up.
Yeah, so I go there the next day. Me and this guy, Brandon, we're in the booth, and we're just kind of like, I'm singing this as, like, best I can, but it's horrible. And he plays it back, and I just went, oh, my, like, how am I supposed to come to the ring to this? Like, this is the worst thing that'll ever play,
like,
ever.
And, like, when you start getting into wrestling, it's really cringy and hard to watch yourself on tape back you first start out.
Horrendous.
Now imagine, like, doing it with music and hearing yourself back. Oh, my God, it's the worst feeling in the world.
Well, and so, like, like I'm saying too, like I'm listening to it back, and I was just starting to get in the good groove of, like, my stuff. The music at the time was like, they've used it for all sorts of stuff. It's been on commercials and shows and everything.
Those songs,
it's one of those, like, generic ones, but it was, I had this groove. It was like this, like, wicked song. I still wish I had it because it was so good. But, like, I knew my entrance, I knew the spots, I knew the cues, I knew everything. And all of a sudden they, like, dropped this on me, and I just went, I have no clue how to do this. So send it to them, and I just went, well, it's gonna be whatever. It's gonna be whatever. And they ended up sending me back this, like, super auto-tuned, like, what it ended up being. And I went, I still hate it, but it's okay. And I guess I can make it work. And then it kind of, like, turned into whatever it was going to be. And we ended up doing the music video and, like, all this other stuff. And as we did it, somebody knew the Chainsmokers. And that song came out at the time, which was, like, a big deal. So they got in touch with them and were like, hey, you know, we got this guy. And they were like, oh, yeah, we actually saw that and whatever. And they kind of wanted to, like, they're like, right, hey, we could do, like, a collaboration on this thing. I said, all right. And then I was like, I had no clue what it was going to be. Like, I was like, all right, am I flying somewhere to, like, meet you, or are we, like, meeting or whatever? We somehow started, like, a Twitter feud, kind of, where they said something about me and I said something about them, and they said something about me and I said something about them. And then all of a sudden they, like, put a picture or something in their video. And then I was like, oh, I guess I was in it. Like, that was I found out when someone went, hey, I think he's in this. And I went, oh, yeah, okay, that's it. And then that was it. Like, we just kind of moved right along.
It's so weird how that, like, just drops in.
Right.
Like,
Twitter tells you a lot of stuff. It tells you, it tells you, for the most part, when your, like, new merch drops. Like, that's how I find out, like, oh, I got a new shirt. Like, someone went, he's got a new shirt. That's it.
Like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
Cool, cool. Like, oh, it's out already?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
That's how I found out about all different things. Like, okay, cool. I'm on that promo.
That's
awesome.
It. Yep.
What's the most interesting thing you found on Twitter? Found out about on Twitter? About yourself?
About myself?
That you didn't know?
That is
you
true.
Had no idea.
I don't know. Pass. You first.
I ain't got nothing. I just rap. Ain't nothing about me. You got dropped from the label. Yes, I did. wasn't good enough.
You already knew.
For me, found out, like, being on the indies, I found matches that I didn't know I was going to be in.
Yeah.
Like, of course, like that. But outside of that, nothing major. I didn't have really bad, like, rapport in social media or anything like that. Now, thank God.
Yeah, no, I don't think I had anything crazy like that, too.
No, nothing crazy.
Nothing that blew my mind anyway. Yeah. I was always pretty smart with social media, where I was like, eventually I want to be, like, in WWE, so I don't have, like, those, like, oh, you know.
See, I got on social media pretty late.
Yeah, or, like, I'd get in arguments or, like, say controversial things or whatever. I was like, nah, I'm good.
No, I don't care that much.
Yeah, I don't think I was even on. Like, I don't think I was, I don't think I got on Instagram and Twitter until I was in WWE. It just wasn't a thing, really.
Yeah.
I had, like, MSN Messenger.
Dang.
You had AIM. I didn't even have it.
I'll never forget. It was like, you remember, I don't know if you remember Latin Dragon. Like, old independent wrestler up Northeast Coast area.
No.
CZW guy. Shout out Latin Dragon, one of my buddies.
Okay.
He's the one that actually, we were on a car ride to New York to do a show, and he made my Twitter right there.
Wow.
He's like, I'm tired of you not having Twitter.
Yeah.
You getting a Twitter. I was like, here, man. He's like, just. Yeah, there's your Twitter. I'm like,
all right.
What do I do with it?
Yeah.
That's what I had.
That's it.
And, like, now seeing how it's evolved and stuff, I'm like, how do I get rid of it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, please, somebody get this
right
away from me.
You got to unplug every now and then.
Yeah.
It's
unplug.
A mess. The people are there to just, I'm like, just take the
even
joke
the
and go.
You could sit there and argue all day if you really wanted to. Really,
but even the news scares me, though.
Don't read news.
Yeah. Like, the news scares me. Like,
don't make you scared to even leave your room, man. Like, just stay in your house. Never leave.
Any interesting road stories in the past, like, so we're in 2020 now, so the last decade, I would say.
Oof. Yeah, I got a bunch. PG! Yeah. No, I don't have anything crazy. I guess, so when I was telling you about, like, my independent stuff, it was a lot of, like, just random, like, so what we did was there were Indian Reserve tours. So, like, the Indian Reserves in Canada.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah, so, like, they basically, like, you can live there if you want or whatever, but, like, they get money, and I think they get paid, like, Fridays maybe or whatever it is. But basically what would happen was they would bring in a wrestling show. So they would pay X amount of dollars. This guy, Ernie, who I was working for, he would get, like I said, I think it was, like, six people, and we'd have, like, three matches and a six-man tag. And we would basically drive. We were in Calgary, which Canada's gigantic, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. So we would drive from Calgary to, like, Ontario, which would be, like, 20 hours. And then we'd do the first show.
One way?
Yeah, oh, yeah. So the way he booked it was crazy. It was horrible. So we would drive, and then we would just set up the ring, do the show, take the ring down, and go to the next town. And it would be, like, Alberta to Ontario to Winnipeg, back to Ontario, over here. So it was, like, four or five shows. Clearly, we're like, dying as we're doing this. Like, and they're not, like, your basic shows here. Like, at one point, we had to load the ring into a tiny little boat and, like, boat it across this thing to, like, this tiny little hall and then set it up and then boat it back in the dark and, like, all this stuff. Like, not your average things. So I'm doing these tours and, like, we're dying. Like, we're going, like, you know, here and here and here and here. There was one time I was so tired. I was sitting in the passenger seat and I keep looking over at my buddy Derek and I go, like, you good, man? And he's like,
Sanka,
he's
you
like,
dead?
And he's like, yeah, I'm good. And I said, I don't think so. Like, you're so tired, and I'm so tired, and, like, that's it. So I fall asleep, and I wake up, and we're, like, spinning off the road, and I'm like, I'm so tired that, like, all I did was just put my hands up in case we flipped over.
Oh,
and I was like, goodness. If it's happening, it's happening. Like, I can't do anything about it. And all I see is, like, in the headlights, I just see dust, and, like, I have no clue what's happening. We're just spinning off the road, and finally we stop, and I just, like, look at him, and I go, what happened? And he goes, I don't know, man. We just, like, spun off the road. All right, like, continue on. So we just continued on, and, like, nobody even mentioned it. Like, we didn't even think anything about it. It was just, like,
goodness.
That happened a bunch of times. Finally, the time that actually got me was, it was my grandma. My grandma had just died, I think, on, like, the weekend or something. I had a show, during the week. I had a show on Saturday in Calgary. So maybe she died on, like, a Monday or something. I made the drive 8 hours back to my hometown to, like, hang out with my family and, like, be there and whatever. I knew I had to make it back for the show on Saturday. So I was there, and, like, I was going to leave Friday night, and I was going to make it back Saturday morning, and everything was going to be great and whatever. My mom's going, like, do not drive at night. And I go, Mom, I'm, you know, at this point I'm, like, 20, 21. I drive all over the place. I'm good.
I can do this.
Yeah, and she goes, do not drive. Like, just drive during the day. Like, why are you driving? And I said, no, I got to get there. I got to get there early. I got to set up the ring. I got to do this, whatever, whatever. Mm. And she goes, don't drive. Don't drive. Don't drive. Don't drive. I said, it'll be great. So it's winter. It's cold. I'm, like, in, like, shorts and a T-shirt in my truck. And I'm driving, and I get to Banff. And Banff is, like, 45 minutes from Calgary. And I go, oh, I'm making great time. It's, like, 5 in the morning. At this point, I'm getting really tired. So I keep pulling over and doing a lap around my truck. So, like, every 20 minutes, and it's freezing cold. So I hop out, and I, all right, I'm good. 20 minutes, and then I start fading, and I go, well, pull over again. So I don't have a seatbelt on because I keep getting in and out of my truck to stay awake. I'm getting close, and I'm so close. I'm almost there.
Man.
And all of a sudden, I kind of, like, wake up, and I'm, like, speeding off the road on, like, slippery grass. And I go, like, oh, like, this is it. Like, I brakes, nothing. Like, it's just ice. I'm just skidding on ice. And I tap the brakes, and my truck just turns sideways. And I have no seatbelt on, and I'm looking, and there's a billboard, like a gigantic, like, post mm-hmm. that's holding this billboard up. And I just look at it, and I go, like, I'm going to fly out the passenger window when I hit this. Like, this is what's going to happen. And all this is, like, it couldn't have been, like, I don't know, 2-3 seconds. But in my head, it was, like, the slowest thing. And I'm just so rationally thinking, like, I have no seatbelt on. I better hold on to the steering wheel really tight because I'm going to go flying through that window if I don't hang on.
That's a pleasant way of thinking.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Like, I would have been like,
I thought, so, like, this is the closest at this point I've been to, like, you know, a death or an accident or whatever. So I'm thinking, like, I might have a scream in me or something. Not a peep. Nothing. Just rational thinking, holding a steering wheel so tight. And as I'm sliding towards this thing, I remember hitting the pole. And as I hit it, I went, well, that wasn't so bad. And I start spinning, and I spin back up on the road, and I go, oh, I might be okay. And then I spin back off the road, and I go down this gigantic, like, bank into these trees and stuff. And I just go, like, whoa. And I hit these trees, and my truck kind of stalls out, and I go, all right. start my truck back up, put it in reverse, and just try to like back up. Clearly, I can't go anywhere. Yeah, no. And I go like, my phone's dead. I've got no charger. And I go, my mom is going to kill me. She's going to kill me. Mm-hmm. So it's like 6, I think it's like 5 or 6 a.m. I'm supposed to be home by already. I climb back up this bank, and I kind of hail down like a trucker. And I go, hey, man, like, that's me down there. And he goes, all right, like, let's call like a, you know, a tow truck, whatever. Tow truck's like 45 minutes out, so I'm sitting there. I think at this point, like, I'm freezing. By the time he shows up, it's like 9 or 10, and I'm like, oh, my God, nobody's heard from me. Like, they're thinking I'm dead. Like, I should have been home by 6 o'clock. And so finally, like, I look at my truck, and my truck is destroyed. Like, the whole side of it is caved in. The box is off. Like, everything's messed up on it. Mm. And so they end up pulling it out of there. They put it up on a truck, and I'm going like, oh, man, damn. Like, I knew it. I end up going, and, like, I get to the dealership, and I call my dad. And I go, hey. And he goes, what happened? And I said, yeah, I crashed. And he goes, yeah, I figured. And he goes, how bad? I said, yeah, it's pretty bad. I said, like, truck's destroyed. And he goes, but you're okay? I said, yeah. He goes, okay. So I call my mom. Immediately, she's like, what happened? And I go, She goes, you did, didn't you? You crashed. I said, yeah. She goes, you okay? I said, yeah. And she's like, truck? I said, no, not good. She goes, okay. So I call my girlfriend, same thing. She's like, what are you doing? Like, why are the trucks destroyed? All this other stuff. So I end up going to the show that night, of course. And
still
I'm
go.
Yeah.
You got to go. You got
to
still
didn't
go.
Didn't even think about it. Yeah. I took the truck to the dealership. They were going to fix it. And I just went to the show. I was like, yeah, just got
we're
a car accident.
Mental.
Oh, my.
We're also
lunacy.
We're
programmed.
Lunacy.
We're not programmed correctly.
We're
yeah.
not.
Ridiculous. I was like, well, I made it to the show.
Because we're all in agreement. It's like, yeah, yeah, you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I would have done
the
same
show.
Thing.
Yeah.
I would have done the same thing.
Like you went, yeah, went just yeah. same exact thing.
Like, I didn't even think about it. I was like, yeah, I'm okay. Like, everything's cool. I'll wrestle.
Still got my gear back.
Yes.
I'm out.
Yes.
My legs, yep.
Can't do a mean lockup.
Even crazy. If I couldn't work, I right. work my leg. I'm still gonna find a way around it.
Hip toss, 1, 2, 3. That's it.
That's ridiculous. What. That's what happens. We're bred into.
Right.
Just
we're weird. Say, we're weird people,
we're
man.
We're not normal.
We're weird
we're not
people.
Right. Yeah. Mm-mm. Like I yeah. No.
Yeah.
Nope. And it's, you can't explain that kind of mentality to an average person.
No. They just go, what? Like, what are you talking about? No. Why? Why would you do that?
Because I'm trying to live the dream.
Yeah.
I have a dream
for the pop, man. For the pop.
For the pop.
Yeah.
I love the pop.
I'm going to get paid $25 tonight.
Yeah.
Duh. That's why. So, we kept you for a while now, man.
We
heard some great stories from you. We'd love to have for you to come back because you got a lot to talk about.
I got right. Dude, we didn't even talk about that's, like
we didn't touch the
my
surface
NXT of, stuff.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
NXT stuff. Your first
I'm not
time you were in a video game.
I'm
we didn't
you.
Talk about your wife who was also a former FSCW champion.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
this is
true.
So much stuff.
So much
we
stuff.
So
but
much
that's why there's a part 2.
That's why there's another season.
That's
right.
Gonna that's going to be dropping
ooh.
After this, but not. Well, we're still fresh in season 3. Mm. Talking later on. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
I really am.
Speaking into existence, my brother.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We ain't getting canceled yet.
Also,
but anyway,
Happy Black History Month.
Yeah.
I just want to say that one time.
I hit the table.
You
my
did.
Bad.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
They're sick of me. They hate me.
Yeah.
They hate working for me.
You said just don't touch the table.
Yeah, I can't do simple tasks. But anyway, you got some stuff to plug, man. You've been doing some stuff on Up Down Down with Xavier and
so,
the New
God,
Day.
So much Up Down Down stuff. So Up Down Down, which then has transferred Up Down Down Champion, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that is also allowed me to open up Left Right Left Right.
I've been
which,
on that recently.
Yeah, which is it's the NXT version. And, you know, kind of invading. We're taking over. But, yeah, so I got Up Down Down stuff on the go. Like I said, I got the NXT stuff on the go. I got 205 on the go. I got the wrestling school, flatbackswrestlingschool.com, with myself and Sean Spears as the head coaches. You actually learn from us. There's nobody else there. That's we're the ones who teach you. The first time you try anything is with us. So,
and I appreciate that. Instead of having like the title of the person that trains it,
you never
like,
see me
who's
again.
This guy?
Yeah.
Like, why is this guy training me?
Yeah. No, and that's
brother.
Yeah.
Oh man,
I'm telling you. But that's I mean
can't
that
see
that
the
was
sun with all this shade.
But that was kind of that was our thinking going into it too, you know what I mean? Of like you need to learn properly. Like this has to be safe. Like a lot of people just go, wrestling's fun, and then they do whatever, and it's like you don't realize you got someone's life in your hands.
Yeah.
Whole
like
other thing.
Driving off a road.
But yeah, so we got the wrestling school on the go. We got the Suites, which is the streaming channel on Twitch. So the Suites Live, www.twitch.com/the Suites Live.
Yeah.
Something like that. And what else? I want to say that's it, but it's probably not.
So this is a busy man, man. He has so much.
It's too much, man. I just finished renovating my bathroom and stuff. Like, just random stuff. You know what I mean? Like, hey, let's try this. I taught myself how to do plumbing and electric. It's crazy. Yeah.
You didn't need a degree for it.
It's crazy. No, you just turn some power off and do some stuff. It's crazy.
That's my favorite part about being a mechanic is doing electric work.
Yeah. I figured out plumbing stuff today.
That part of my brain don't work very well.
It soldering. They're like, you could do it.
I did some research and they're like, there's some parts of the brain that don't activate properly. You got to kind of shift it.
The only limits you got are the ones
like,
you put.
If like Michael Jordan's brain of being competitive was shifted the other way, he'd be like, like Charles Manson. You know, he'd be insane.
Maybe. Yeah.
So mine is shifted the other way. So
if that's what you want.
Yeah. I don't want to be Charles Manson.
No.
A funny little road story before we close the episode. Something happened over this weekend of the Royal Rumble weekend. So I was on the NXT Live tour. Coming from Louisiana, we had to do Memphis, and then we went to Louisiana. So we had to go drive from Memphis to Arkansas, in Arkansas, sleep there, drive it next morning to Louisiana. Did Louisiana, came all the way back to Houston. Houston had the Worlds Collide, and then we had Royal Rumble. So we get into Houston hotels. I'm rooming with Matt Riddle. It's 3:30 in the morning, 4 in the morning. Everybody's like, literally, the line is this long. Everybody getting on the bus.
Of course.
All the talent, the whole roster, getting in line to get their rooms and stuff. It's going to take like an hour. So me and Riddle, thank God, we're like first. So we get our rooms. We go up to the room. Boom. It's like floor 16. Mm-hmm. So super high up there. I'm like, okay. All right. We made it. Finally. Scan. No. We did not. But still. This is an exhausting elevator. Very exhausting. Get there. Scan. Doesn't work. Scan. Doesn't work. And I'm like, but it also has the do not disturb sign on the front. I'm like, man, I think this is somebody's room,
there,
man.
Yeah.
And he's like, bro, they wouldn't do that to us, man. Come on. They wouldn't do that. This is our room. They totally wouldn't do that. I'm like, Matt, I'm pretty sure this is somebody else's room. He's like, dude, I'm telling you, it's not somebody's room. All right, I'm going downstairs to get another key. 16 floors back down. 16 floors back up. Scan. Nothing. Scan. Nothing. Man, I'm really sure this is somebody else's room. Bro, I'm telling you, man, it's not anybody's room. I'm like, all right, let's call maintenance. Maintenance guy comes in, wheels the little cart thing, scans the thing. Oh, it works. Opens.
Oh, yeah.
Bolted.
Someone's in.
I'm like, man, I told you somebody's in this room, man. He's like, bro, why would they do that? They would not put somebody else in our room. I'm telling you, bro. I'm like, so apparently the desk is calling in the room. The guy's knocking in. Engineer. This goes on for like maybe 5 minutes.
Sure.
Engineer. Door. Bolts up. Flies open. It's Cesaro. I'm like,
I bet he was so mad.
But he came in. He opened up like he was ready to throw your hands.
Yes.
He was like,
he's intense, man.
And then like, Matt, I'm like, Matt, I told you this was somebody's room, man. He's like, wow, it's somebody's room. So, but he was such a good sport about it. He was like, you guys just get off the bus or something? I was like, yeah, we just came through. He's like, oh, man, that's rough, man. Oh, that's funny. They were calling like, who's this Strickland guy? I don't know a Strickland. This is Claudio.
Yeah.
This is and they were on the phone. So he's like, so now he has a Strickland. So now I walk in the back end and Royal Rumble. He's like, Strickland! It's Strickland! Yeah. And then I saw him in the PC today. Strickland! So that's how it happens. That was my weekend story. Funny little story right there.
Hey, man, at least you wasn't holding the back of your head bleeding, brother.
No blood required.
No blood required, bro.
But I'm like, this could have been a very mean person that could have opened the door as well. This could have been, thank God I got good sports Cesaro in this. So. But, let's close this episode out, man. We had a good time with Tyler Breeze over here, man. Big Swole, where they can find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at Swole World, or you find me on Instagram at The Big Swole.
Big Swole, with the new shirt right there, the new merch.
Yes.
Nice. Say it, show it one more again
for the people at the house.
And one more game for the house. Sit you up on your feet. Funk is on a roll. Funk is on a roll. Funk is on a roll.
Okay.
All right.
Shout out to Naomi, Black Girl Magic.
T.G. Scott, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you cop our album, which is coming out in April. April 4th from Humble Beginnings. Wow. We have been in the studio working on this classic album.
We just dropped we just did a song with Leo Rush featured on it.
Yeah, nice. We got a song with Leo on there. Make sure you guys check that out. We
have hot, crisp vocals.
A joint called Body Art coming out soon featuring Juice from the Flatbush Zombies. Make sure you guys check that out. We have a lot of stuff in the works, so make sure you guys stay tuned.
In the meantime, stream Broke Boys.
Yeah,
stream that too. Miss Wall offered the crisp vocals on that song.
Absolutely.
And not to mention, we just dropped Chit Trap today, so get that on the youtube.com/SwerveCityPodcast. That's on the channel now, Chit Trap. And we're going to drop another one tonight. So, yeah, as always, be confident in everything you do.
Wash your ass.
Or you'll get a pop-pop.
Pow.
All that.
It's great.
Yeah.
And clothes.
That's a wrap.